And we welcome everyone who is in person and who is worshiping virtually through live stream. And we welcome you in the name of Jesus. God made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in this one whose name is Jesus. We have another opportunity to worship this evening at 5 o'clock. We had to postpone last week due to weather. And so this afternoon, 5 o'clock, the Porticochet will serve as the chancel. And Rob Pendley will be bringing our message. You can bring a chair. You can stay in your car. And we hope that you'll take advantage of that opportunity to worship again today. It's always a good time to join a small group if you'd like to, or even start one up. You can again talk to Rob Pendley or to Becky Cannerday. I encourage you to do that, especially in these times. Good time to start it up and then see how important these small groups are. We've been mentioning lately that on October 31, the Reformation Party, it's always for the children. We try to expand it a little bit every now and then. But this year's different in that it really is for all ages. There'll be a lot of games and candy, but there'll also be good music and good fellowship and food. And so encourage that to be more of a church picnic atmosphere. And then lastly, I've been mentioning the last 2 weeks that 40 Days of Life began on October 1. It's 40 days of prayer for the sanctity of life, in particular the unborn. And there's a tent called David's Tent just across the street from the abortion clinic on South Perry. It's 811 South Perry. And our hour in particular that we're in charge of David's Tent is 8 o'clock on Monday morning. So we've done it for 2 weeks. We'll meet again in the morning. You can pray at home, certainly, and pray all week and pray every day during the 40 days. But that's our hour, and we encourage you to come and join us. Life on Wheels is there, and it's actually a very peaceful and nice, really spirit-filled time of prayer. I encourage you to do that if your schedule allows. We're going to turn all of our attention to the reading of God's Word and the preaching of God's Word that is without error. It is utterly trustworthy. It is authoritative. There is not a higher authority in our lives than God's Word. I am only going to read the Old Testament lesson, and then I'll read the New Testament lesson at the end of the sermon. So we will have both readings. We'll bookend the sermon with the reading of God's Word. But let's give attention to Psalm 145. It's a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Thus ends our reading this morning. We mentioned last week that this is David's last psalm that's recorded in the Psalter. And in God's providence, the way it is laid out in the Psalter, it sets up the last five psalms, 146 to 150, which are known as the last or the final hallelujahs in the Psalter. And that this psalm is filled with much, much praise and reasons to praise God. The least of which not being, which actually sets up the outline, is that God is great and God is good. And so therefore we thank him for our food. There's an extremely extensive outline that begins on page 10. And give credit to Beissner, Calvin Beissner. We looked last week, each sermon, even when we preach expositionally, stands on its own. So you didn't have to be here or have heard last week. But it's page 10 and 11, and actually we find ourselves on the back of the bulletin on page 12. And at the top it says October 18, 2020. That actually reminded me there's a little cutout there, perforated page for members and guests alike if you'd like to fill that out for prayer requests and also visitors to give us your information. Again, the outline is as simple as God is great and God is good. In fact, I'm going to reopen and notice on page 10, his majesty, his glory, he is glorious, he is splendid. We talked about his might. And then in his goodness, his truthfulness, his righteousness, his faithfulness, his holiness, and then his love. The fact that he's gracious and compassionate and near. As we've just read it, you hear it throughout the entire psalm. And so we must come away from it, even just the reading of it, and think, how can I show gratitude to a God like that? And I would answer by Micah 6:8 and say, has he not shown you? Has he not told you, O man, what is good? What does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We're going to find therein lies our praise. Okay, but first, letter A under Roman numeral 3, is that this is God's providential care for his subjects. We just see some of the verses here in verse 14. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Talks of meeting our needs in 15. The eyes of all look to you. You give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. Look at verse 19. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. In other words, there's a special attention that is given to his children. He draws near, you'll see in verse 18, to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Qualifies it there. Watching over his true children in verse 20, the Lord preserves all who love him. Which then leads to letter B, these means of expressing gratitude. How am I going to live my life as a way of showing thanksgiving to a God like that, to the God who's being described in this 145? We know how to praise him. I mean, we know as Christians, and we've been taught so often how to sing and how to read the Word and how to pray and express thanksgiving, and even in posture that we talked about earlier. This morning stretches us a little bit because we're going to talk about praising him by way of holiness and by way of trusting him. Again, as a way of showing thanksgiving, even being involved in and thinking in terms of missions and evangelism, you can actually show praise to God for what he has done for you by loving the city in which he's placed you, by loving Montgomery, having compassion, desiring for Montgomery to be everything that God would ever allow her to be. And so we start with this holiness, and number one there in the list is to mirror the goodness of God. So yeah, we're talking about behavior, we're talking about a certain demeanor, we're talking about a way of life, but there again, we are made in his image, and so therefore we are called to imitate him. We sing the hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, Holy, Holy. See, thrice holy, merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. There's none besides thee, perfect in power, love, and purity. Then we know and we're reminded that God says clearly, this is Leviticus 11:45, I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. And Jesus Himself reinforced it in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:44. I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In verse 48, you therefore must be perfect as your Father is perfect. Say, well, then how in the world am I able to do that? Well, you first find that your actual perfection is found in Jesus Christ. That therein lies your hope. Your justification before God is found in the fact that He has declared you to be without sin, and that through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. So first and foremost, last night we had a wedding, and so we talked to the couple about the fact that Jesus is a great example to you, but He is also your hope, and that He is the one who's at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for you even now. So with that in mind, though, there's reason for us to express our holiness, to express our desire to be holy. How do we do? We start by embracing the whole counsel of God. What does that mean? Well, it means the whole of who God is, that we not just pick and choose the attributes that make us feel certain ways, but we want everything there is to know about God from His Word. That's the second thing. I'm going to embrace the whole counsel of God. How am I going to know it? I got to find it in His Word. How am I ever going to learn to love this God unless I read His Word? How am I ever going to know the God who loves me infinitely until I read His love letter to me? And then what's that going to do? It's going to produce a courageous and godly and strange character within you. Strange meaning strange to the world, because it's a certain integrity, it's a certain way of saying I'm a man or woman of my word. There's an honesty, a faithfulness. I've had the privilege of working with some of our members of lay. It's a privilege when we had a pipe burst in our home. This is all with a wedding next week. Our pipes burst. Our floors buckled. We had a hot water tank totally burst. We had a roof leak. And we have the best church. We call certain people. They tell me to call certain people. They tell me to call certain people. I've ended up with a company in our church. And they, I told one of the men who owned the company, I told his wife, I said, well, I have really seen your husband in action. You know, not just in church, not just a certain way around believers. I've actually seen him, the way he conducts his business, the way he's a man of his word, the integrity. That's what we're talking about. That's strange. That can be weird to the culture in which we find ourselves living. It's really cutting against the grain of most businesses, I'm sure you would agree. In our own lives, avoiding temptation, avoiding certain sins, of all sin, but sins that might be besetting sins. And all of that leads to, when I say this company or this man in particular, because there's a certain calming effect about Christians. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, a coach, a businessman, businesswoman, housewife, whatever God has called you to be, there's a calming demeanor. And so that really leads to that last part of number one. So I'm embracing His whole counsel, everything about Him. I'm going to find that out from His Word. It's going to cause me to exude this unique character. And then toward others, it's going to make me compassionate. I'm going to try to understand where they're coming from. I'm going to forgive them as God has forgiven me. I'm going to try to get close to others, even those who disagree with me. I'm going to move toward the needy. I'm going to move toward the poor, those who can't make it on their own, place myself aside, put aside my own wishes, my own desires. I tell you what we're talking about is like father, like son. Remember that phrase, or maybe you still use it. I remember there was a commercial, probably 1970, 71, and father and son, they were doing certain things together, but everything the father did, the son did. And it was nice little music being played, and it was the theme was like father, like son. They sit down under a tree, and then the father, the cigarette, that was an anti-smoking campaign, and the cigarettes were sitting there between the father and the son, and the father went for the cigarettes and put it in his mouth, and then the son is reaching for the cigarette. He's probably 6 or 7 years old, reaching for the cigarette pack, and the words come across the screen, like father, like son. Of course, in the other way, we think in terms of being holy, and what we've just described here, it's exuding the family likeness as a Christian, realizing I have more than common grace. Everybody has common grace. I've been given special grace. He's loved me in a unique, special way. Therefore, I'm going to love others. Why am I going to love others? Because my Father loves others. Why am I going to love my enemies? Because my Father is showing compassion to them and loving them. All right, secondly, we're going to exalt Him as King. That's a way to show thanksgiving. He does it in the first, He does it all the way through. But first verse and last verse. Look at the way He opens the psalm. I will extol You, my God and King. Bless Your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless You and praise Your name forever and ever. And then look at the way He ends with His personal resolution. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Now, why would He make a personal resolution like that? Except for the fact He knows that God loves him. And that God actually listens to him. And God actually provides for him and protects him and feeds him and gives him the desires of his heart. As part of the meditation in the sanctuary, that God is this unfailing friend to the poor, the feeble, those who lack self-confidence, the bruised, the oppressed, the downtrodden. Martin Luther said, because Christ is the King of the poor, afflicted, and the fallen. Because He's faithful. Look, just follow with me here in verse 13, where it says that He keeps His promises and cares for all of His creation. In verse 14, those who fall, He lifts them up. You might need to hear that this morning. In verse 15, when you're hungry, He feeds us. In verse 16, He satisfies us with good things. In 13 and 16, it's human beings and the animal kingdom. Do you know that the word all is used 11 times in these verses 11 to 21? The theme is universal praise. And that ought to be the theme of our prayers and the theme of our ministries and the theme of the way God uses, the way He's gifted each one of us, is that we desire universal praise the world over, reaching out, evangelizing, speaking of Him. We'll get to in the fourth point in just a moment. Number three is we're trusting Him to provide. That's a way of showing thanks. Maybe it's undeniably clear, I know, but in verse 15, the eyes of all look to You and You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand, You satisfy the desire of every living thing. Just those words, You open Your hand, that warms the heart of a believer. I mean, that's something we desire to take deep, deep inside of us. You open Your hand, God, and You satisfy me. So wouldn't you agree, on the one hand, that trust in God is a way, trust in His greatness, trust in His goodness, is a way of praising Him. Great and good? Now you may say, sometimes I feel like God is 90% great and 10% good. That's just where I feel Him this particular day. Or maybe 90% good and 10% great because I'm hurting in this situation. But still, it's always the same. It's actually 100-100, but I know our faith wanes, and so we're back and forth. But it's trusting this God. Give us this day our daily bread is actually a way to praise Him and thank Him in our prayers. If you agree with that, then would you not agree that fretting and whining and complaining and fear and always words of doom, that shows a lack of faith, that shows a lack of trust? And if there's a lack of trust, there's a lack of praise and thanksgiving? Oh, I would think so. I think that you would agree with me. We're not going to end on that negative note on that point. I want to point out some of the verses that are listed there for your further encouragement. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. That one's actually not written there. 1 Peter 5:7, if you want to jot it down. Forget none of His benefits in Psalm 103. He knows the number of the hairs on your head, Luke 12. Are you not worth more than many sparrows, Luke 12. Each morning you wake to new morning mercies, Lamentations 3. God has laid the iniquity of us all on Him, Isaiah 53. He blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, Ephesians 1. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And what? He'll lead you. He'll make your path straight. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I don't think that one's there either. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So when a mirror is goodness, I want to exalt Him as King. I want to trust Him to provide for me. And then number four, in one word, number four is missions. That's how I'm going to praise Him. Look at verse 11. They speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. And look, he's overwhelmed. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words. You could argue that verses 11 to 21 are speaking to the new heaven and the new earth. The return of Jesus, where we read in Revelation 5, and Patrick preached on this in February, in Missions Month. I'll give you the date because it's worth going back and listening to. February 23, 2020. Patrick preached about, I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. They sang a new song. They said, worthy are you to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain by your blood. You ransomed people for God. Listen to this. From every tribe, language, people, and nation. And they say with loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And it just goes on and on. How do you even stop reading from Revelation 5? I don't know. But that's our heartbeat. Is the desire to be able to say, not in an arrogant or drawing attention to yourself, but be able to say humbly, I was a part of bringing people into the kingdom. I actually did things that helped usher in the kingdom of God. I helped the word get out to all the nations. I was a part of a church that was involved in something significant. You know, I was involved in a church that actually believed there were things bigger than itself. That's a wonderful church to be a part of. How do I do it? Well, the first thing is you remember the tagline again. I mentioned this last week. Just remember 24:14. That's our tagline for our missions ministry. It's Matthew 24:14. Memorize it. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of this kingdom will be proclaimed. It will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, meaning all ethnicities, all people groups, and then the end will come. So how can I be a part of that? You heed the command of the Great Commission, which really is ultimately to make disciples. Making disciples how? By going, you know, the Great Commission, go therefore, all the nations, you baptize them, you teach them all the commandments, you teach them to observe all the commandments that I've given you. Lo, I'm with you always. But it's all about making disciples. Where do I start? I start with myself. Am I a disciple? Am I following Him? Am I growing? Has it moved from my head into my heart? And then do I see it in my small group? Do I see it in my community of my Sunday school? Do I see it in the church at large? Am I experiencing it in worship when I'm singing and reading the Word, preaching the Word, singing the Word, praying the Word, tasting the Word at the supper? Do I know more about Him than I did 8 months ago? Do I love Him more than I did a year ago at this time? And then when it comes directly to missions, we use four words: kneel, know, give, go. But it's catchy, but it's actually very easy to remember, and it's a great way to apply. Well, I need to kneel. I need to pray for missions. I need to pray for specific missionaries, maybe some that God's placed in your heart that the church doesn't support, but then many that the church supports. You take the 2414 booklet that we gave out in February, and if you need another one, you need to come get one. It's a wonderful, it gives you all of our missionaries and why we're doing what we're doing and all of our priorities. And you pray regularly, routinely, and you know them. You can't really know all the missionaries we support, even though we have brought it way, way down from where it has been. It's still too many, really. We could pray for each one, certainly. But to really know them, I'd encourage you, personally, why don't you pick four? And then maybe your small group would pick four. Maybe there's overlap, maybe there's not. Your Sunday school would pick four. And the reason I say four is because you would pick one missionary who goes to an unreached people group. You'll find it in the booklet, who we support among unreached people. Then find a missionary who does medical missions. And then find one who is a ministry in Montgomery. And then find one that's a ministry to children. Those are our four top priorities that we're supporting. So make that, and then you give. You give and you give and you give. We're always saying you can give in mission, and you can give to the budget, and you give you 10%. 20% of that's going to missions. And when it's all said and done, 33% that comes into this church goes out, which is a very high number, and we praise God for that. I mean, only He could do that. We want to keep doing that. But you do that, and you sit down with your family, and you say, you know what? We're going to give 11% this year, because that 1%, and it's great to do it that way. It's not legalistic, because it's a certain figure. And all your children know how much it is, perhaps. You say, here's one. Or maybe you can give more than that. They say, this is going to missions. This is what we're going to give to this missionary that our family is going to pray for every day. Get to know their families. And you go. You can go on a short-term trip. We'll have, I think, four. We're trying to get four or more a year. We're going to Reynosa each July for 5 summers in a row and trying to take 50 people each time. From pretty young up through adults. You know, a short-term trip, maybe a long-term trip. We say it's maybe a year or two, but you might be thinking career. You could always go and simply visit our missionaries. If you go and you see them in their element, it will change your prayers for them entirely, get a whole new perspective. So I wonder if I could ask you these questions, because they're really from the heart and things I've been thinking about. Well, really, as I was studying for this, but thinking about for myself, has God not, let's put it in first person so you can ask yourself, has God not shown me in 2020 through COVID what is really important? Has God not shown me how small our world really is? Has God not shown me how much time I waste? Has God not shown me what I really need? Has God not shown me how little time I have on this earth? And has God actually not shown me how selfish I am? And do you think that God could be even using 2020 to speak to your heart and tell you, I want you to pull up your tent pegs. I want you to move. Not just somewhere nicer and safer. I'm talking about, although He could do that, and maybe for missions purposes, but I'm just saying, take it up and move somewhere for missions and have an impact on maybe just one community, and you might go and have an impact on one person. They come to Christ, and then 2, 4, 8, 16. And when you get to heaven, somebody may say, because you moved out of Montgomery and you came to my country, there were so many saved. Thank you for doing that. Verse 12, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds. Lastly, is that we proclaim the good news. It's all throughout this psalm. I was going to read certain verses. I'm not going to take the time to do it. But go back and read each verse thinking about evangelism and knowing when you do it, His word never returns void. I speak to myself, why are we so nervous to bring Him up and talk about Him? And we'll talk about so many other things that we love and we want them to experience. And I don't know why we get so nervous about Jesus, but for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. It's that simple to someone, and that's the power of God and His salvation. It's not up to you. All you're doing is saying the wages of sin is death, the gift of God's eternal life. That's simple. And there's a confidence that His love and His grace and His mercy is behind you and behind the gospel as you present it. And do you know His elect? When you're talking to one of His elect, they irresistibly come. They're called by the Spirit. And you get to watch it and see this person give their life to Him. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, was out of his mind. I'm talking about how you think about who could I ever talk to? We think about presidents, governors, and these things, election season. Look, Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. And this is what, he went insane, and then God brought him out of it. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. That's the God right there. You say, I don't have that much time for Him. Well, He has all the time for you. Say, I'm too busy. He's never too busy for you. And when He says in verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down, He's talking about you and me. People that are tired and worn out and ready to quit. And He's faithful and kind and good, and He raises you up. And that's why we're called to be ambassadors of reconciliation. We have such good news. I'm going to read the New Testament lesson now, and then we'll close in prayer. You can read it in the bulletin there, 2 Corinthians 5, or you can just close your eyes and listen. For the love of Christ controls me, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Our Father in heaven, Your word is so rich. It takes our breath away. It's always something new. Even things we've read over and over and over, the Spirit ministering to our spirits. We long for it every day, Lord. We long to be near You. We long to trust You. We long to know what this reconciliation between You and us means and what it means to us every day and how You would use us. Thank You for all You've done for us, not only in salvation, but gifting us and and using us. So, Father, please do that. We have so many reasons to praise you. The hymn says, or the song says, 10,000 reasons, even more, Father. We want you to hear our hearts as we close out this service, that we sing and sing loud and sing from our hearts because we love you and you've done this for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.